This episode of Heather Dubrow's World is brought to you by Hyundai. Check out the new 2022 Tucson at Hyundai.com.
This is Heather Dubrow's World, and now you can live in it two times a week right here on Podcast One. Welcome back, everybody. I have had an insane week. First of all, oh my gosh, I forgot how exhausting it was doing this show, but that's number one, neither here nor there. And my gosh, already, you guys, this is going to be a good season. Let me just leave it at that for now. My Wi-Fi totally went out. My week has just been so screwed up. You know, it's like when you take on a new job, I don't care what the job is, you have to, you know, reconfigure everything else you're doing. And, you know, then these snaps, you think you have everything kind of worked out perfectly, and I don't allow for errors. And there was the Wi-Fi went out crazy. And so Nick Vial, who's on the show today, we were supposed to record a few days ago, and it just couldn't happen. He was so sweet. I mean, I don't know if I would have done my show after like two issues, but we had two issues. Anyway, he's really sweet. I'm so happy that he's here today. So he'll be on in a little bit. What do I want to tell you guys? Oh, the twins. This is so crazy. So at their school, when you're a senior, you get a parking spot. I don't know what kind of schools everyone else went to, but I know when I was in high school, there was definitely a senior parking lot. We didn't have designated spaces, but there was a senior parking lot. At their school, they have to apply to get a permit, and then they can decorate their parking spot. They can paint it. So every year they paint the spots, and at the end of the year, they paint over them, and then they start over again. And I remember like it was yesterday touring the school when the twins were in eighth grade and seeing that. Wait, hold on. You guys, the gate's calling me. Sorry, one sec. Hello? Great. Send them up. I have no idea who I just sent up from the gate, by the way. There you go. Anyway, so I remember like it was yesterday, the twins were in eighth grade and touring the school and seeing the senior parking spots all painted. And some of them were phenomenal. I mean, really talented, you know, artists putting these beautiful pictures, and some of them were graphic. Some had their names. They were pictures. It was Pokemon. It was like all these different things. And they were so great. And you look at that and there's your kid in eighth grade and you think it's so far away. And now here we are. I was upstairs with them an hour ago, you know, giving them the credit card so they could buy the permit for the spot. And then they were designing their spaces and everything. And it was just so cute. I just can't believe it. I cannot believe they are going to be seniors in high school. It's just crazy to me. They are going through the beginnings of the college application process now. And I have to say, I was going to say surprisingly, although I don't actually think this is that surprising, but I'm pretty hands-off of the whole thing. First of all, it's not my strength. I mean, I can write, I've written books, I've written articles and stuff like that, but writing an essay like that isn't really in my lane. And I hired a college guidance counselor for them, Eva Scalzo, and she's been great. And so she really guides them and, you know, helps them and, you know, shows them what to do and everything, but they have to do it themselves. And I just think that's so the right way to do it because, you know, it's their voice and it's their thoughts and it's who they want to be and what they want to do with their lives. And so, I don't know, I'm just not really interfering and let's see what happens. I'm excited for them though. I'm so curious. I feel like I need to write down in an envelope. You know, Terry and I do that thing at New Year's Eve where we write down what we hope happens next year. And then we open it the following year. I should do that. I should write down, I'm going to make myself a note. I'm going to write predictions for where they are going to college. And then I'm going to seal it. And then we will see if I am right. I don't know. No clue. Also, this is so random, but I bought a new rug for my bathroom. When we did this house, if you go on the house tour, you can see our bedroom. It's a little more masculine than our last house. Not the rental, but the last one we built. Terry didn't love that room because he felt like it was a little feminine. I had like a sparkly duvet cover, and I had the walls were like upholstered silk. And I mean, I didn't think it was that feminine. It wasn't like it was like pink and purple, but he thought it was a little feminine. So with this bedroom, I did more chocolates. And even though there's still a little shine and a little sparkle, it's definitely more masculine. So in our bathroom, we have a sitting area in our bathroom, and I have these two leather chairs. I know it's crazy, but we hang out a lot in the bathroom. It's kind of our spot. So we have two chairs and a little table in the bathroom that face the fireplace. And it's just a nice place to sit and hang out. Like if I'm doing my makeup, he'll hang out there, or, you know, he's brushing his teeth, whatever. We just hang out there. So I had bought this rug when we first moved in 5 years ago, and it was kind of like a flat chocolatey brown silk rug, just kind of basic, but I don't know. It's 5 years later. It started to look worn to me. And I don't know if it's just because I have the design itch or whatever, but I decided to get a new rug. So I bought a new rug, but I thought it was going to be this mist color. And it turned out to be like still chocolatey brown, but it's just fur now. And I'm not really sure it was worth the time or the effort. I don't know. I'm going to post pictures of the before and after. You tell me if it was worth it. I mean, I think it elevates it a little bit. I was so bored of the other one. I don't know. I'm telling you, we've never stayed at a place this long before. So I don't know. I'm ready to move on. Terry's not. He wants to stay here forever. But I'm kind of ready to move on. I want to move down to the water. But I was taking someone on a tour of the house the other day, and we were walking through, and I thought, I love this house. It's so pretty, but I really am ready for something new. I don't know. We'll see what happens. And I'm in the middle of planning a party for Max for her book launch, which I'm super excited about. And lots of things going on. I don't know. It's just been crazy. Again, I forgot how exhausting filming a television show like Housewives is, but I think you guys are going to like it. So far, very interesting. Stay tuned for that one. All right. Well, Nick Vile is here. I'm super excited to have him. You'll remember him from The Bachelor. He's got a big podcast called The Vile Files. And I'm really looking forward to this. This is going to be fun. So stay tuned. Nick Vile's coming up next.
You're listening to Heather Dubrow's World.
Well, Hyundai questioned everything to create the best Tucson ever. Every inch of the all-new Tucson has been completely reimagined, resulting in an SUV loaded with available innovations both inside and out. From design to technology to safety, every aspect of the new Tucson has been improved upon. The SUV has been completely redesigned inside and out to create the best Tucson ever. There's a digital key that allows you to use your phone as a spare key. Plus, LED daytime running lights are stylishly hidden within the front grille, making them invisible when not in use. Plus, there's a 10.25-inch full-touch infotainment screen. Hyundai has done everything to make the best Tucson ever. If you want to learn more about it, go to Hyundai.com.
Well, I have to say, in the last year and a half, we're finally using our home gym. I actually enjoy working out at home, but you know what else it means? More laundry. Towels, 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 stinky, stinky towels, and all the workout clothes. Oh my gosh, why does everything smell so bad? Well, guess what? I found OxiClean Odor Blasters. It's the laundry booster specifically formulated to work on all of our stinky, smelly laundry. I know it might not be like fabulous to be talking about stinky, smelly laundry, but guess what? It's just the truth. And what do? You don't want to cover up the odor. You want to get rid of it. OxiClean Odor Blasters rids clothes, linens, and laundry of stubborn smells and stains, returning them to a clean, fresh-smelling state again. Come on, is your home your home gym? Is it starting to smell like one too? You are going to love the OxiClean products. OxiClean Odor Blasters is specifically formulated to take and tackle the toughest odors in your home, not just cover them up. It eliminates sweat, musty towel, and body odor on cottons, attacks odors at their core, and it's specifically formulated for use on smelly socks, musty towels, sweat stains, and body odor. Hello to boys in the house. All right, people, work your magic with OxiClean Odor Blasters and save. Visit OxiCleanCoupons.com now, where a coupon is waiting just for you.
Now back to Heather Dubrow's World.
Well, my next guest, I'm very excited about. I haven't seen him in a few years. I'm going to see if he remembers meeting me. He is one of the favorites from The Bachelor and has a really phenomenal, highly rated podcast called The Vile Files. Please welcome Nick Vile.
How's it going? It was outside of Access. You and your husband were there.
Yes.
In the waiting room.
Okay.
Was it Access? It was in the waiting room of a extra. I don't know. One of those.
Yeah. I think it was Hollywood Today Live. And I remember I hadn't been watching the show. And so I just thought you were just this very handsome guy. I assume you were an actor. And they were like, it's Nick Vile. He's The Bachelor. And I was like, well, that makes sense. And then there were roses around, which probably irritates you at this point that there's roses everywhere. But anyway,
it irritated me then. Yeah,
I know you seemed irritated. I mean, not with me, but I'm just saying, like, you were so cute and so charming. And I love how you have parlayed the show into your show.
Thank you. Yeah, that means a lot. And I think it's something that all the people who come from that show and nowadays it seems like everyone hopes to make something of that experience. And I certainly get why, and I certainly was, but it's a challenge and it's something I've worked hard in doing. So thank you.
Yeah. But don't you think, Nick, all right, so we've both been on reality TV. I mean, don't you think that most people come onto reality TV at this point because they have bigger goals than the show? I mean, that's why I think it's hard to cast.
This point, yes. I when I was on the show, and it, like the first time I went on 7 years ago, social media wasn't what it is now. And so back in the day, you know, when the Bachelor first started, and I've had these conversations with producers, you know, I mean, in fact, when it first started, it was like the only thing on TV. Now there's so much competition. I mean, they used to get like 30 million views or viewers on a Monday. But there was no social media. So once this season moved on to the next, you just kind of were quickly forgotten, you know? And the power of social media has given a little bit more power to the people who go on these shows. And when I first went on, like, it existed, you know, but it certainly, influencing wasn't a thing then, you know, social media deals wasn't a thing then. People were just trying to figure out what does it mean to have followers. And so I think when I went on, you know, The Right Reasons was always part of the show. But I do think most people back in the day went on for the experience. Naively.
Come on, you were looking for love? You were looking to get married?
No, I thought it would be cool to travel around the world, you know? Yeah. I thought it'd be cool to be on TV. I thought it would be fun. I thought it would be an insane experience that no matter what happened, it's something I would carry with me for the rest of the time. But I actually had a pretty level head in terms of like how realistic I was like, this is a reality TV show. And again, up until that point, there wasn't really any examples of any one person who had really transitioned from that show into something else. Ali Fedotowsky, she was the Bachelorette and she had, you know, she was working for E, and that's the only person that really comes to mind. But social media has really changed the game. So now that when they're casting it now, I agree with you, no one's coming for the right reasons. And I don't blame them, because if I were on the show now, yeah, I would, you know, and my friends signed me up. If they signed me up now and I got cast on the show, I would be wondering like, what's the worst thing that could happen? Well, I mean, like, you know, I would think a positive would be, it might be more likely that I get followers than find love. And I think that's just a realistic aspect. But once you're in that world, it changes drastically. You can get caught up in the environment. But yes, I think realistically, everyone at least thinks about it, considers it. Some people are more authentic than others, but it can vary.
Yeah, well, no, I agree 100%. But what I always think about with people, because, you know, I was an actress before I came on the show. And even though we really didn't have social media, Nick, like really didn't have it. Like there was like not even an internet for part of the time. But I kind of understood, you know, the fame thing. But I can imagine when you're given fame and then it's taken away, this is really hard. And I think, I don't know who it was, but someone from The Bachelor was just saying, he was just like gave an interview saying that he was really depressed and didn't know what to do with his life because it's like you're treated like a rock star. And I've heard a lot of kids on American Idol talk about this too, because you're really thrust into the spotlight and, you know, you're on these shows and you're flying all over the world and doing all these great things. And then all of a sudden it's kind of ripped away. That can be super depressing.
It's quite literally operates the same way as a drug would. You know, I'm not a scientist or I don't understand necessarily the chemistry behind taking drugs, but I do know that different drugs will affect our brains in different ways. And it will, like serotonin and dopamine and things like that are released in kind of unnatural ways when we take drugs, right? And I think when we have life experiences, it works the same way. It's a hit of adrenaline, a hit of dopamine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And yeah, the come off can be, it can be damaging to one's mental health, especially if you don't have perspective and a level head or a good support system and realistic expectations. I was very fortunate, you know, I think, I was in my early 30s when I first went on the show, and I think that really helped me. And going on the show, I remember just telling myself, like, just be very level-headed about that. And so I was lucky. And even then, it still, you know, at times affected me. Yeah, I've been fortunate enough that I've been very level-headed about things, because I think, you know, certainly it's affected some of my peers a little bit more. And part of it too is because not only are you thrusted into this, but your family and your friends.
Yeah, right.
And they all have a bunch of ideas of what they think you should or shouldn't do. And you just have to be very careful who you listen to. And, you know, it's one of those things too. I was thankful, like I grew up in athletics, and I was in corporate America, and I was in high level stress environments, you know, throughout my life, and certainly nothing can compare to The Bachelor, but those experiences I think helped prepare me. But at the same time, more importantly, I was lucky enough to know the importance of taking people's advice, especially people who, you're taking the advice from people who are going to be honest with me, as opposed to seeking out advice from people who are going to tell me what I wanted to hear.
Yeah, that's super smart. But don't you think also, like, you almost can't listen to anyone? You kind of have to go with your gut. And it's true, because I mean, when I first joined Housewives, my family were so not happy about it. And it was like a whole big to do. Oh yeah. And then finally I was like, don't watch. Pretend it's my diary. Don't watch. Don't read it. You just don't worry. Pretend it's just, you know, in a vacuum and you just don't have to worry about it at all.
Yeah. I mean, it's always funny, the aunts and uncles and cousins that come out of the woodwork when you go on TV.
Well, then they're happy. Then they want to be your best friend, right?
Yeah. You know, my family's great, and overall had truly, as far as how families could react, for the most part, my family, and in the best possible way, really didn't give a shit. They were supportive.
You're lucky.
Yeah, they were supportive, but not necessarily. They didn't. You know, it's always weird. I see some of my peers, and like their parents and family members are, you know, they kind of hitch their wagon, so to speak, and it must be draining. thankfully, my family didn't do that.
That's good. That's very good. So how is it coming off a show like that? And now, I mean, you've really marketed yourself and branded yourself as sort of this relationship expert, this, you know, dating kind of guru. And then is that hard to then go out and date?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm very careful about not calling myself an expert or a guru. I thank you for saying, I appreciate people giving compliments. I saw a tweet yesterday where someone was saying how they found out their therapist follows me.
And that's a compliment.
I get that a lot, and that those are really compliments I appreciate. As far as my own personal life, I'm like, you know, I have a girlfriend now, and I'm very careful about separating the stuff I do for work or my podcast versus my relationship with her. I don't want her listening to my podcast, and not because like there's anything I'm saying bad or anything. It's just like, she has to hear me enough. I don't, you know, we are equals in our relationship, and therefore, you know, it's, I don't want her to think of me as a guru. I don't want her going to me for advice. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, I, it's a clear, so I very much try to respect those boundaries. And before I met Natalie, you know, it's weird, 'cause like, no one, I guess I was still, I still was, or still am, kind of transitioning into this space. And so in my personal life, it didn't really carry over. And I never walk around and call myself something, and I don't necessarily want to, you know, have my friends think of me as such. But, you know, for me, it was just, I was always the friend who people would go to for advice, even on the show, like when I was on Paradise. And I just, you know, it's a partly I can be pretty honest and candid. And a lot of it has to do with, like, I had my own bullshit to deal with in my life and my early dating life, and everything I kind of share is a reflection off of things I've experienced. And, I just try to deliver it in a way where, I really don't, like, that's the thing, is like therapy, like from a therapist standpoint, I'm very careful. I recommend therapy. Like, every time I'll get a call, I'm like, well, you should probably talk to a therapist.
You're like, I don't know.
I'm not, but because I don't try to get clinical, right? All I'm really doing is kind of helping whoever's calling or asking a question is see their situation through the lens of someone who's not biased, and help see it through a lens of a maybe more honest perspective, if they can remove ego and some of those things. And people always, they kind of tell you the truth when they're saying something else. You just have to listen to it. And that's just something I've been good at hearing as kind of people's lies that they tell themselves, or the truths that they're saying deep below the other things. And I'm just trying to kind of get the dust off the windshield, so to speak.
You're listening to Heather Dubrow's World.
When hiring gets hard, you need Indeed, the job site that makes hiring incredibly simple. Just attract, interview, and hire. In fact, with Indeed, you could do all of your hiring in one place, even interviewing. Indeed Instant Match helps you make a short list of great candidates fast. The moment you sponsor a job, you get a list of quality candidates whose resume on Indeed match your job description, and then you can invite them to apply right then. Indeed helps you hire great people fast. Best of all, you only pay for applicants who meet your must-have qualifications. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/Heather. That's a $75 credit at Indeed.com/Heather. Indeed.com/Heather. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Now back to Heather Dubrow's World.
So what do you think? I mean, I've been married for like 100 years, so I have no idea what the dating world is like these days. I'm sort of fascinated by it. I mean, not that I want to be in it, but I do find it fascinating because my oldest kids are going to go to college next year. And so that's, you know, it's like a whole different ball game. And then, you know, out in the world and all that. I know you're with someone right now, but wait, how long have you guys been together?
Well, interesting question. We technically celebrated our 1 year.
Why the air quotes?
Well, because I didn't really have an anniversary, and it will be this September will be 2 years of us having met. But for like 9 months, I refused to date her. And
why is that?
I mean, I was reluctant and cautious, and we lived in different states, and I wasn't sure if we were in the same place in our lives. And I was just very cautious. And some of it was probably my own skepticism and baggage and things like that. But so we became a couple 9 months into knowing each other. And so.
Well, you met her on social media, right?
Yeah. She slid into my DMs.
That's so funny that that's a thing, slid into my DMs. It sounds very sexy, but like people DM me, but no one ever slides.
Well, you're married.
Yeah, well, there you go. It's not really that exciting. Okay, yeah. So she slid into your DMs. Did she write you like a sexy note?
No, it was pretty to the, I think she just commented on my face. I mean, listen, it's, you don't have to be super creative if it's a visual platform. So,
okay. So you clicked on her picture. You're like, she's hot. Okay. But am I really going to date someone that DM'd me on Instagram?
It wasn't so much DM'd me. No, I had dated other people who DM'd me or I DM'd. So I'm not knocking that, but you know, I mean, when it comes to social media, you don't, I'm very cautious. I'm very safe. You don't really, you know, you don't know, there's catfishing and things like that. And, I kind of slow played it. And then we met in New York and, the rest is history, so to speak. But, she's currently at work. She's a surgical tech in the plastic surgery space, ironically.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
So, in LA?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if she works for one of our friends.
She might. She's worked for a couple surgeons in the area. So
that's good. That, by the way, that is like an intense job.
Yeah, she loves it. So she's been doing that for a while now.
So do you see yourself getting married someday? Is that like in the cards for you? Are you a married guy? A marriage-minded guy?
Yeah, that's a conversation we have. I mean, to be honest, like I always was, right? I certainly have very traditional parents, have been married for I don't know how many years now. I have 10 siblings.
10?
I want a family. And yes, eventually, yes, I want to get married. But like, marriage is, tricky these days.
Why is that? Do people your age, like, how old, can I ask you how old you are?
I'm 40.
Okay. So he says it like in a whispered tone, like it's dirty. By the way, 40 is, I just want to tell you something, is the perfect age for a guy.
I'm thriving. It's the best
age ever, because you're old enough that you are a man and you're in control and you know who you are and you know who you want, but you're young and you can do everything. 40 is the best age. When we got married when Terry was 40.
Oh, okay.
Hint, hint, if you wanted to get married, I'm just saying it's a good age. So I love that. But I'm wondering, like, younger people, because like people my age were, everyone, like when we were being raised, it was like, this is what you did. You went to school and then you met someone and you got married. And even if you had a career or whatever, that was like what you did. But I feel like younger people, like yourself and younger, it's not so cut and dry. I mean, I think there's just all different kinds of relationships and situations, and that maybe marriage isn't necessary.
Yeah, and that's true. I mean, I think more and more we're becoming a more non-traditional society, and you're right. I think traditional, like, yeah, I grew up, the expectation you date and you fall in love and then you get married and have kids. And now that's not so much the same, but Natalie is wants to get married. So if I want to be with her, I'm probably have to. Get married.
I'll send you my jeweler's name. By the way, every time you say her name, your smile gets incredibly big.
Yeah, she's wonderful. Yeah.
That's so sweet. So do you find it hard to talk about dating now that you're in this serious relationship?
No, I actually makes it easier, because I think sometimes, and it's unfair, it's fine, but like, I was positioned, especially on the show, as kind of the unlucky in love, bachelor, had his heart broken a few times. And then I started like popping off some relationship advice, and some people, a lot of people at first were kind of confused. It's like, why would I even listen to you? Or how could I listen to you? As if like, being in a marriage has anything to do with, offering perspective. Nevertheless, it doesn't hurt to be in what seems to be a stable relationship at this point. And so it doesn't hurt and I don't mind it, but I like talking about it, because I like talking about her.
Oh, I think that's so sweet. Do you practice what you preach? Do you follow your own rules of dating and relationships?
I certainly try to. Yeah. And again, often my advice is just to be honest with yourself about what's going on. But the thing is, when you give advice, it's unbiased. I don't have a horse in the race, so to speak. Right.
Right. It's certainly much easier to give advice to other people, but like Terry will say things like, he'll be like, one of the big things I say is, date your wife. I'm like, well, then date your wife, right? And it's kind of like a running joke between us, but it is easier to give other people advice like that.
Yeah. And I, you know, it's like, you know, therapists have therapists. Like I, oh, one thing I think I'm good at is recognizing that I shouldn't go to myself for advice.
Right.
Thing, you know,
no, it's always good to have an outside opinion.
I try to just be honest with myself, and I don't always get it right, but I definitely try to practice what I preach, but I am sure that's not, it doesn't always happen.
Yeah. I mean, I think you and I are similar that way, and people come to me for advice on things too, but it is easier to give someone else advice. But I find it so cathartic because I learn so much about myself when I'm talking to someone else about their problems, because it makes you realize maybe things that are going on in your life that you weren't recognizing.
Yeah, it certainly can, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So what's the dating world like or going to look like, do you think, post COVID?
Well, I hope everyone's wearing protection, because I think
like a mask or a condom. What are we talking about?
Like a condom, yeah. Well, maybe both. You know, hopefully.
Just saying. A shield, gloves.
Yeah, I'm vaccinated, so I.
Me too.
I mean, to be totally. Yeah, I mean, all jokes aside, I think right now there's going to be a bit of a roaring 20s kind of, people are excited, people are going to go out, they've been stuck inside, they're anxious to get around. I think hookup culture is going to, you know, be as strong as ever. It will get messy, it'll get complicated. And I do, yeah, wear protection, because, you know, you don't want to mess things up just because you've been bottled up for a year.
That's a very good point. And also, you know, what do you think about sort of gender fluidity? I find that, one of my daughters came out as bisexual a couple of years ago, and we talk a lot about her and her friends. She's going to be 18, and how it just feels like people are more interested in, you know, talking about their sexuality now. And do you think it's because the society is just, we could talk about all these things now, or because the conversations are open, or do you think people are just more fluid now?
I mean, I'm not a scientist, so I can't speak, and I haven't done any studies on if things have changed. But yeah, I think it's safe to say that, you know, with acceptance and people being more comfortable expressing themselves freely without judgment, and that still happens, you're definitely gonna have people come out, right? Like, you know, when I was in high school, there was quote unquote no one who we at least knew was gay. No one came out in high school. And I think a few years after I graduated, you heard so-and-so, it came out. And I'm sure there's a lot more that I'm not even aware of because I don't keep in touch. So without question, the acceptance is going to open things up, and, you know, I can't speak to, if there's an increase in fluidity or things like that. I think it's, I'm a big advocate for supporting the LGBTQ community. And, you know, I have a sister who's gay and a brother who's bisexual, and listen, whatever you want to be, man, I'm happy.
Yeah. Tell me too. I was just curious, like, cause out in the dating world, when you talk to people and hear about people's dating, I just find it so fascinating. Like, I love it. But I was at a lunch the other day, and the gal, she's been married for 8 years, and she was like, yeah, I'm bisexual, and blah, blah, blah. And she was talking about it. And I thought, that's so cool. I love that everyone is just so open.
Yeah. I'm glad people are feeling more comfortable. And unfortunately, there's still progress to be made when it comes to, you know, especially young families. And, you know, I think I've seen stuff for, like, you know, people talk about the homeless, you know, in LA, right? There's a whole
terrible
epidemic. Yeah. And a lot of homeless starts with young people who aren't accepted for their sexuality and are kicked out of the house and things like that. I mean, it's a wide range, but my understanding, that's a big chunk of the of people who are homeless. A lot of them are people who are gay or, you know, fluid with their sexuality and aren't accepted at home and are forced to leave. So obviously, there's still progress to be made.
Now back to Heather Dubrow's world.
Well, thank goodness the kids are finally back in school. But you know what that means? more laundry. I got uniforms. I got PE clothes. I've got after school clothes. I've got sports outfits. I've got cleats and socks. And guess what? They stink. Kids stink. What is that? They stink, especially the boys, not going to lie. What do I need? I need OxiClean, because OxiClean Odor Blasters is a laundry booster specifically formulated to work on all of your stinky, smelly laundry. Oh my gosh. What it does is it rids your clothes, linens, and laundry of stubborn smells and stains, returning them to clean, fresh smelling state again. Oh my gosh. You guys, are your kids back in school? Can you believe how much laundry we do? It's crazy. If one kid is like 10, I have four, it's like 20. I have no idea how it just piles up and it stinks. Do you have everyday stink concerns? I mean, maybe for you, it's workout clothes, pet stains, laundry odors, the sports clothes. Coco plays softball now. It's disgusting. But guess what? OxiClean Odor Blasters does the trick. So go work your magic with OxiClean Odor Blasters and save. Visit OxiCleanCoupons.com now, where a coupon is waiting just for you.
Now back to Heather Dubrow's world.
All right, let's talk about some dating things. So what I want to know is, because I have some friends who are back in the dating world, and I'm a little shocked at the choices and that they don't see the red flags. So what do you tell people if they call them, like, what are the red flags if you're on a first date with someone?
Like what in general? Like what are
Like, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? You know, of course, we want to like you. You're attractive. I'm sitting here. I've checked all the boxes on paper. But like, what are they saying that you're going, uh-oh?
Well, I mean, if we're talking about the first date, you know, it's hard to just, you know, for if it's a first date, I mean, the biggest red flag would be, like, do they ask you questions or not? I mean, not asking you questions would be a red flag, right? I think it's... On a date, it's easy to get nervous, and, you know, when we get nervous, we'll talk about ourselves. And so there could be some nerves, but oftentimes people aren't really interested in getting to know you as much as they say they want to, right? Or they pretend they do. If they're not asking you questions, they're not interested in really getting to know you. And it's amazing how many people on first dates don't ask a lot of questions. And so that would be a red flag. I mean, you know, there's obvious ones, like if they show up late, or, you know, or you know,
talk
late,
about their ex the whole time,
talk about their ex the whole time and things like that, or just rude or inconsiderate. But, you know, I think most of the time the first date is a screening process to see if you have any kind of connection, and, you know, do you want to go on a second or maybe third date? Yeah, so I think the only thing to really be careful for, quite honestly, I think most of the red flags on first dates would come from ourselves, right? I think a lot of people, like, I think, you know, I try, especially when it comes to dating, like genders and things like that, I think men and women are equally as guilty in a lot of things. There are things I think men generally might be worse at, and then there's things that I think women might be worse at. One thing I've noticed with women is that they tend to focus more on being liked rather than figuring out who they want to like. And so they might be guilty of going on dates and just hoping a guy likes them, and without even deciding for themselves, do I even like this guy? Or
right.
They're too worried about the guy not liking them. And men can do that too. But I think from a societal standpoint of, like, again, the traditional, like, men are supposed to pursue and women are supposed to be pursued, I think plays into that kind of place where women fall in that trap sometimes. So I think that can be a problem.
I agree with you. I never really thought of it like that, but you're right. And that, my gosh, that's so learned response from how we're taught from when we're younger. I hope that continues to change. Are you a guy who, are you a good breaker-upper with people? Like, do you remain friends with people after you break up?
It depends on the situation. Depends how intense it is. You know, is it a situationship where we're just hooking up, where we, like, long-term boyfriend and girlfriends? I think unless you are interested or willing to hear, you know, a friend is someone you could potentially share your sexual escapades with, and they could share with yours, and they could offer advice and vice versa. And you're indifferent to how active or not active they are. So if you're willing or capable of doing that with someone you're in a relationship with, then maybe you can be friends. I think most of the times you don't need to be friends to be a good breaker. Like, listen, I think sometimes it's a fine line, because I think when you break up with someone, you have to be as direct and kind all at the same time. And just because you're kind doesn't mean they're not going to get mad and angry and sad, and doesn't mean you're not going to hurt their feelings. And sometimes hurting their feelings is the best thing you can do. Again, as long as you're not trying to be cruel and trying to be mean and trying to hurt them deliberately by pointing out things that are unnecessary to say at a breakup. But sometimes "I don't like you anymore" will hurt really, really bad. But I think the worst thing someone can do is be too afraid to hurt someone. And so what they do is they actually lie, right? They lie about, and they'll give them false hope, and they'll say things like, "Well, maybe someday," and "I don't know right now," and "let's just see," or "maybe we should take a break," and things like that. And those are all things we say, because we're like, "Well, I just don't want to feel like an asshole, and I feel bad," and you're just making it worse on the other person. You have to let your person hate you. You have to be selfless enough when you break up with someone to be the bad guy. And I think that makes a good breaker upper, as long as you're not saying things that are unnecessarily cruel.
That is very good advice. And honestly, even with a friendship too, although I'm not someone who — you can't really do this with a relationship, but like with friendships, if I'm done with someone, like truly done, I don't really like confrontation that much. Shocking, because of what I do, but I don't really like confrontation that much. So I always just kind of elegantly extract myself, like just become a little unavailable and just a little busy and just never a problem, but just slowly fade away.
I mean, that's one approach. What happens if they're trying to like be like, "Hey, do you want to hang out? You know, like,
I'm just so busy. Hope you're well. I'm just super nice."
So long ghost them?
It's like a long ghost. It's exactly right. I don't think you could do that in a relationship, but with friends, you could totally do that. Especially when your kids are young. We're very busy. Very, very busy. Lots of driving, lots of children.
I mean, I guess you can. Yeah.
I like to be able to run into someone. Like, there's very few people in my life, my whole life, that I would not say hello to, even if it's someone I had a conflict with. Most people, life is too short. Someone has to have done something really horrible to me to have me not say hello.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, and at the risk of running into them, you just have to, you know, awkwardly be like, "Hey, yeah, we should get together sometime." Yeah.
No, you can't make drunk plans.
No, I don't ever say that, but if they do that, they're just like, you're like, "Yeah, someday.
Yeah. Never. Not happening. Are you — now this is kind of a personal question, but have you ever cheated on someone?
No.
No, me neither. See, this is the one thing I said to my husband when we got together. I go, "I just want you to know something. If you ever cheat on me, you just better hope I never find out, because I can forgive absolutely anything." But that I just couldn't, because I just feel like once a cheater, always a cheater. And I don't want to play detective, and I don't want to follow you. I don't want to look at your credit card receipts. I just couldn't do it. That is just like a non-starter for me.
I agree. I think most people would.
Some people might make the choice to stay and work on it, and that's okay. I'm not trying to be judgmental. It's just for me, I couldn't.
Well, they might make the choice to try, but I mean, I'm just talking about in terms of cheating. I would rather have my partner come to me like, "Listen, I'm thinking about cheating on you."
That would be okay?
Would it be okay? No, I would be devastated and given, depending on the circumstances. But what I'm saying is, at least there would still be trust.
Yes. Well, that's a good point. So do you have any like non-starters? Like, is there one thing for you that if it came up and Natalie was like, "Listen," and gave you some, I mean, I'm sure you know everything by this point, but if she gave you some piece of information — let's not say her because she's your girlfriend, but like someone in general — if — what would be your one non-starter thing?
Well, I mean, lying, trust is a big thing for me. And so, it's hard to get it back, because I'm pretty generous with the trust I give people. Like, I'm actually pretty willing to give people trust who technically I haven't earned it, right? So if you violate that trust, it's hard for me to give it back. And again, like, you know, I'm giving you an extreme example when I say I'd rather have my person, you know, tell me, but like, I also recognize that we're just humans, and I don't have this illusion that, while I have every bit of confidence that my girlfriend's very attracted to me and that, you know, I'm the only person she wants, like, I recognize that there's like other good looking guys out there. I recognize that I don't have all the strengths there is to have in the world, and I have weaknesses, and there's other people who are better at things than I do, and I'm okay with recognizing that. So, you know, someday, you know, if I'm just saying, I recognize that we're human, and so I can't necessarily, I could understand that. Well, I guess this is what I'm trying to say, and I can empathize with this idea that, you know, in a tough spot, or if we're, let's say, a fast forward a few years, and, you know, something happened. For, I don't know if you're watching Sex Life on Netflix.
No, I heard. I need to start watching it. I know I heard it.
I don't know if it's amazing, but it's certainly interesting. If you're into relationships, and, you know, I think as married women, I think it's interesting to get their perspective on this type of stuff. But, like, you know, she's a character who's, you know, thinking about her past, and, you know, when I watch it, I don't necessarily fault her for having these fantasies, but every time she lies to her husband, I you know, it angers me when I watch it, right? That's the
stuff. She's lying about the fantasies?
Or she did these little lies, you know, and she's, you know, I'm not having, but like, you can't, you know, it's the ideas and the things we have inside of, so, you know, as humans, we just have to manage those, and then we have to try to be honest, and hopefully you can be in a relationship where there's a safe space to talk about these things. And obviously we're talking about a crazy TV show and extreme circumstances, but the point is, honesty is, like, I think people should, it seems like obvious, but we don't do it as much, you know, truly cherish honesty above all things. And it's crazy how quickly we are willing to lie to each other. You know, when people say, like, oh, I don't want to hurt your feelings, or I felt bad, or whatever. And you can get over most things if you trust someone. And I, you know, it's amazing how much we take that for granted.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. You know, we have a lot of trust in our marriage, but it's funny when we talk about, like, and I haven't seen the show yet, but when you talk about fantasizing and stuff like that and things that you have in your head, I don't think you should, I mean, I'm not saying you should lie, but I don't think you should have to reveal those things to your partner. And I'll tell you why.
What do you think, like, that you have fantasies?
Yeah. I think if you have a private fantasy and it's yours, I think you're allowed to have
that's
those
okay.
Things.
Yeah. But that's not what I'm talking to. She, like, there's the show evolves and she, like, lies about,
she's like a liar.
She's but lying just about saying, things, like, she's doing. Yeah.
Ah, but yeah. Some people, I mean, I've had friends that are couples that literally feel like they have to share everything. Like, they poop in front of each other and they tell, which I think, I'm sorry, everyone needs a separate bathroom, but they tell each other the fantasies and then they get jealous of each other. And it's like a whole big to do. And to me, I know you're acting now, right? So,
yeah.
So when, you know, obviously I'm an actress and, you know, going through acting school and all that stuff, I, you know, you learn that what's going on in your head and how you need to get somewhere is your personal, you know, what's going on inside your mind to get you to whatever place you need to get to that the script is having you go. It doesn't have to be exactly what the script is saying, but it's what you're using and what you're pulling from to get you there. To me, I feel like the same way in relationships to a certain extent when it comes to fantasies.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't think, I think if you were in a relationship and you demand that your partner tells you all your fantasies, I feel like there's a weird control.
Yeah, it's very strange. And then they're lying to you and then you're setting something up.
Yeah. And if you're a couple that, you know, likes to do that because it's a kink that you guys have, then great. But yeah, I think, just more honesty with your actions. And yes, there's, I think I don't want to be that controlling guy. And you're right. I don't need to know everything. I'm aware that, you know, Nally's an attractive person and we live in LA and there's attractive guys and you just have to choose to be confident in your relationship and hope that you can trust them.
Let me ask you this. I was out the other day with this couple and I was with these girls and she was talking about her marriage and she was telling us all about their sex life. And I was saying, I go, no one wants to hear about married people's sex life. And she was like, no, 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 married sex is hot. I go, no, no, it's hot. I'm not saying that. I'm saying no one wants to hear about it. When you're single and you talk about your escapades with your friends and it's kind of interesting and cool, whatever. But as soon as like you're in a serious relationship, that's not sexy to talk about anymore. Do you agree or not agree?
I generally agree. Yeah. I mean,
do you want to hear about your friends' sex life when they're married?
Well, to be honest, I don't know. I don't know how women are. And I feel like women actually do talk about this stuff more than men do. But like after like college, me and my friends stopped doing it in general. Like the extent would be like, oh, did you guys hook up? Yes. Cool.
Oh.
That was it. You know, the details of like, well, set the stage, you know, like that. I can't speak for all men, but I'm under the impression that me and my friends don't do that. And
us either. That's why it raised such a red flag for me. I'm like, why are you talking about it?
But I would agree that to your point, if men or women do it, yeah, it's a little more exciting when you're like, it's about a random like kind of fantasy. But when it's just like, it was a Tuesday and my husband, like, congratulations, you have a sex life with your partner. You know, like,
that's
yeah.
So funny. I was saying you're acting. Do you have anything coming up? Are you working on anything?
We're still auditioning. You know, I'm not signed on any upcoming projects, but, you know, thankfully I'm in a place where I can continue to act and do auditions when they come along. And, you know, obviously the life of an actor, especially one who's, you know, for myself, I haven't always been doing it. I'm just thankful to be able to have the opportunity to audition and work on it. And it's, and make a living doing other things as well. And, if the right role comes along that I'm willing to knock out of the park, then hopefully, I'll do it. And it's been fun to be on some projects, and it's just been fun. Yeah.
That's exciting. So, all right. So what's next for you then?
Well, mostly just what's next is tomorrow, you know, just kind of.
Well, it's Tuesday. So yeah,
the podcast, you know, the Vile Files takes up a lot of my time, and building out, you know, launching more shows under the Vile File Network, which is exciting, and working on developing those right now. And obviously I have my show that has three shows a week, so that keeps me busy. And you know, I have my essential oil company, Natural Habits, that I do with my sister. So I have you know, obviously other projects and things that I'm doing. I stay busy, so it's a lot of fun.
That is great. Well, I was really excited that you could come by and hang out for a while. This was fun. Thank you so much. Tell everyone how to find Vile Files and how to find you on social media.
Well, anywhere you listen to podcasts, just search Vile Files. And then on Instagram or TikTok, it's just my first and last name, Nick Vial. And we'll just leave it at that, you know. And
thank you so much for being here. Congratulations. Let me know when you're ready to propose. I'm going to help you.
All right. Thank you, Heather.
Bye, right, Nick.
Bye-bye.
Thank you guys so much for listening. You know how to find Nick and go listen to his show. What a cute guy. And I love how forthcoming he is about everything. And that was really fun. Thank you guys so much for the support. Don't forget to go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review and say what you love about Heather Dubrow's World. And I will see you guys next week. Thank you so much for listening to Heather Dubrow's World. Download new episodes every Thursday and Friday on Podcast One, the Podcast One app, or Apple Podcasts. And please make sure to subscribe to the show and leave a lovely 5-star rating. Go to Apple Podcasts and say how much you love Heather Dubrow's World. See you next week. Listen to Your Eyes is a podcast series from Horizon Therapeutics for people who have a thyroid condition and are experiencing problems with their eyes. Throughout this series, you'll learn about thyroid eye disease, or TED, and hear from those living with the condition, as well as physicians and caregivers. Together, podcast guests will discuss their firsthand experiences with TED to help others become more aware of the signs, symptoms, and risks associated.
We'll also discuss the importance of seeking care from a TED specialist, the physical and emotional impact that this condition can have on daily life, and where people can turn for support. For more information about thyroid eye disease, visit thyroideyes.com and join the Listen to Your Eyes Facebook and Instagram communities to find a TED specialist in your area. Don't forget to visit teddoctors.com. Please subscribe, rate, and review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, at podcastone.com, or wherever you subscribe. Until next time, listen to your eyes.
This episode of Heather Dubrow's World was brought to you by Hyundai. Check out the new 2022 Tucson at Hyundai.com.
Happy Earth Month, everybody. I know that every year we write down different goals that we want to accomplish. And maybe one of your goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. Well, here's some fantastic news. Macy's makes it easy to do just that. This Earth Month, join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. And by the way, who doesn't love going to the park, especially in the spring? Super cute little doggies on leashes, soaking up the sun with your friends or your kids or your little nieces and nephews. Well, check this out. Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project. Their goal is to transform vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help create healthy, livable communities for generations to come. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a huge difference. Donate online or in-store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.